It is 4:30, and that's the time this committee starts, unless it starts on Wednesdays at 8:30. Many times there are important announcements given at the very beginning that are never to be repeated again. I'm pleased to see so many people here that came with the goal to share their wisdom with this committee. The Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division. We have been assigned committees that were in Representative Yarrow's committee 2 years ago, accounts that were in committee. You're noticing all these. You're making a note of these tardies, are you not, Mr. Chen? Just like in school. The accounts that were in Representative Yarrow's Heritage and Legacy Committee 2 years ago have been transferred for the most part to this division. The Amateur Sports Commission, the Arts Board, the Asian Pacific American Council, Black Minnesota's Council, Chicano Latino Affairs Council, Children's Museums, Explore Minnesota Tourism, the Historical Society, the Humanities Commission, the Indian Affairs Council, Minnesota Zoos, let's see, Public Broadcasting, and I'm told that means radio as well as television. The Public Facilities Authority, Public Libraries, Science Museum, and the Outdoor Heritage Constitutional Amendment has been added, as has the Public Facilities Authority and the Libraries. But the others were in Representative Yarrow's committee. The Outdoor Heritage Constitutional Amendment has been assigned to this committee because legislation is needed to enact the wishes of the people of Minnesota. 56% of the people voted yes. And that means that starting on July 1st, 3/8 of a cent will be added to people's sales taxes. And that 3/8 of a cent will be divided among outdoor heritage, which will receive 33%, clean water, which will receive 95% of 33%, and 5%, up at least 5% of the 33%. Is for clean drinking water. Parks and trails, 14.25%, and arts and cultural heritage funds, 19.25%. And really, that's all the constitutional amendment says. We have to determine the legislation that will make that work. It's a big, big responsibility. It's not just automatic. None of it is just automatic. This committee is in charge of listening and finding out what the people were saying when they voted yes. And what are their expectations? We are going to be working on water in conjunction with Representative Wojtyniuk's committee, who's been working on water for a long time, and getting the background and fact-finding and the scientific data as much as we possibly can. There is no advisory committee that was determined for water for the constitutional amendment. There is another advisory committee already in existence. Just as there is the Outdoor Heritage Committee that was enacted by the Game and Fish Law last year to make recommendations to this committee. Traditionally, the Arts Board has made grants across the state. All those things will be looked at in conjunction with our charge of enacting legislation that will make the constitutional amendment work for the next 25 years. The first money, all these people that say, oh, we like you now, Mary. We like you now, Rick. We like you now, Representative Davis.
They still don't like you.
Because, yes, they do. You have money. You have money. And so those people that want some, keep in mind, there's not a cent until at least August of 2009. And then we have to talk about, should we spend right off the bat, or should we develop a reserve fund? It's big. But I think our first thing that we have to do is listen and find out why did 56% of the people vote yes? And why did over 350 groups get behind the Vote Yes campaign? And what did they think was going to be different with the addition of 3/8 of 1 cent sales tax? And today's assignment was announced on the agenda. We're going to start with 90 seconds introduction. 90 seconds only. And in that, you have to tell me who you are, why you're here, whatever you want to tell me, and whatever you want these committee members to hear. And what your goal was. And why you're going to be here every single Monday from now to May. Monday that we meet. Of course, next Monday we're not meeting. And I also want to tell you a little secret. At first we didn't have this time spot. But I willingly gave another time spot up so that we could have this time spot. Because you know what? There's no committee scheduled after this one. So we can have this room as late as we want on Monday evening. We can go from 4:30 to 8:30. Or 4:30 to 10:30.
You can't put pizza?
Don't have any money. Don't have any money. People haven't spoken yet. But you might want to pack a sandwich. Anyway, the agendas will be complete each Monday. Can't do much about Wednesday. But the agendas will be completed on Monday night. No matter if 6 o'clock comes and goes. And it's not just committee members that have responsibilities here. Every single person that thinks they're a player, that has advice, works hard. Has a responsibility. Sometimes we work together. Sometimes you get to talk. Sometimes we have little groups. Committee's main job is to listen carefully and when the time comes to vote right. But it's going to be good because nothing like this has ever happened before. And we can set the pattern. And frankly, at this point in time, we don't care much how they're handling it in the Senate. And the people in the committee room should know that we have very experienced people in this room that can match head to head with any senator. And so those of you that just work the Senate because there's too many people in the House to deal with would be remiss if you kept that thought for the things that this committee is going to do. We're smart cookies sitting around this table, and we've got a big, big charge in front of us. And we're going to go forth, and we're going to make a difference. And indeed, we are the only game with money. But this is our kids' money. This is our grandkids' money. And this is the future of Minnesota's life and breath. The trees, the water, our culture and our heritage, our boat and our canoe and our kayak and our cabin and our new McMansion or whatever it is. For those of you that doubt it, whether I know anything about the topic or not, you better believe I do. And every single day, I go outside and I breathe. And so does everybody at this committee table and everybody in this building. And we're going to make it better for the future people. That's going to be our legacy. So, Mr. Chen, have you got your time clock? Have you got something to wave when the 90 seconds are up?
I'll find something.
Okay. I'm asking the people in this room to come before this committee and tell us what made you come today or what your goal is for this committee. Brenda from the Science Museum, Ms. Rainey, come down to the table. Whoever wants to get out of here for whatever reason after her can go and stand along the back wall if you're in a rush.
Thank you, Representative Murphy, and the rest of the committee members today for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Brenda Rainey. I'm here from the Science Museum of Minnesota. The Science Museum of Minnesota is one of the premier cultural institutions in the state. with a 100-year history of collecting, preserving, and displaying artifacts from the earliest Native American residents of our state all the way to possessing the single largest collection of Hmong artifacts found in the country, representing one of our state's newest communities. Over 1 million people annually visit the museum, making the Science Museum of Minnesota the best-used museum in our state, while we also bring the museum out to over 80,000 school children every year and share educational experiences with them in their classrooms. Our ability to present broad and deep exposure to Minnesota cultural heritage in a fun and engaging way makes us a unique asset to Minnesota's lifestyle, culture, and economy. And I'd like to respectfully ask that you consider the Science Museum and all that we offer as you have discussions throughout this session here in this committee, and to please let me know if there's any questions or any help that I can provide the committee during those discussions. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good start. So let's not wait. Let's go.
Madam Chair, it's nice to be in a committee with you at the helm again. It's been a while.
It has been a long time.
My name is Paul Austin. I'm the Advocacy Director for the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and I'm speaking here today on behalf of MCEA and, to a lesser extent, some of my green allies in the crowd. We have three purposes in the back of our mind as we sit here today with you at the start of this journey. First is, we want to see if this money truly supplements traditional funding for the purposes that are defined in the Constitution. Secondly, with the Clean Water Fund, we're very interested in seeing that it goes to the purposes that were defined by the Clean Water Legacy Act. That was the intent of the G16 as they developed the thinking around that piece of this puzzle, and we believe that's still valid. And lastly, we'd like to see that the Clean Water Fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund in particular are coordinated in such a way that we get an absolute maximum benefit out of every dollar spent across the land, across the water, across the air for those future Minnesotans that you spoke about earlier. And with that, I will stop and turn it over to Mr. Ness.
Good evening, members of the committee. My name is Lance Ness. Today I appear for you as a president of the Fish and Wildlife Legislative Alliance. I told Mary it would take me 90 seconds just to introduce myself, but I'll try to keep it short. I also was the co-chair of the Duck Rally. Many of you attended a couple sessions, and we brought 8,000 people to the Capitol to support that amendment, which has now been passed. Our goal is and always has been that we do something for the future of Minnesota. So as I've been telling the members of the Lasard Heritage Committee, my three pieces of advice are very simple. One, think big. Two, think hard. You have 25 years to undo 150 years of damage to our environment. And lastly, think long term. It is the best thing we can do for the future of our state. I would like to point out Scott Mullen out in the audience, who is my official lobbyist here. I'm just a volunteer, and I only spent the last 25 years of my life here in front of these legislative. It took me 14 years. I'm kind of the godfather, they might have been called now, of the legislative amendment. Started this 14 years ago, and it's taken that long, 10 years in front of the legislature to get it passed, and we are very proud that the people of Minnesota supported us. Thank you.
Madam Chair, two very minor points. Just on the record, MCEA is not eligible for any of the money that is out there being provided by this funding. And secondly, Allison Wolf is here, and she is the face of MCEA at the legislature every single Monday. I'll be here at least some of them, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Allison who?
Wolf.
Great.
I've never been shy. I'll step up. I have a quick 90-second handout entitled The Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, 90 Seconds of Success, at the page that I'd like to give it to.
And your name?
Paul Erickson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. For those of you who are new to overseeing our agency, the Amateur Sports Commission is the state's agency to promote the economic and the social benefits of amateur sports to all areas of the state. I want to point out some very good news which is going to be scarce when it comes to economic issues over the next couple months. Amateur sports participation appears to be recession resistant. The participants in our programs have been fairly consistent, 07, 08, and looking to 09. So using amateur sports as an economic development tool bodes well, because you may postpone buying a new car, but you're not likely going to take your kids out of amateur sports. 4 points. The Amateur Sports Commission oversees the National Sports Center. It is probably the only state-owned facility that does not receive a subsidy. Our oversight ensures that that operation has never required and won't require in the future a state operating subsidy. Point number two, our agency, through the facilities that have been built, brings in $70 million of new money from outside Minnesota into Minnesota every year. If there's a decline in that activity, there'll be less people coming in. That generates $70 million a year. 9 million visitors visit these 12 facilities, and we run the Star of the North games every year. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Barry Keeley. Before your able assistant starts his time clock, I have a question. I represent two different entities here tonight. Do I get 190 seconds or 2 minutes?
Two.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will begin. I represent the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. We operate both regional parks in Dakota County. We operate county parks. We are in cooperation with the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources are the custodians of and the operators of. In the case of Dakota County, we are the gatekeepers of the users of the new piece of property that was acquired at the generosity of the legislature and the University of Minnesota out in Rosemont. We are the gatekeeper for the public's access to that. That is a brand new park. There's no facilities, no entrances, that sort of thing, and we will be involved in that, and we'll be bringing information forward to make this incredible resource available. We also operate large regional parks with huge amounts of land. Regional parks are paid for in mostly with property taxes, both through Dakota County and the Metropolitan Council, and to some extent with general fund appropriations for operations and acquisitions through bonding money. And we are happy to provide those services to our citizens and the citizens of our region and the citizens of our state, and we will be here and be very happy to help you in any way to pick the future of the parks portion of this legacy that you will be overseeing. I'll put on my other hat, Madam Chair. Once again, my name is Barry Tilley. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Barry Tilley, and I represent the Association of Minnesota Public Education Radio Stations. Our stations are made up of 11 individual stations, all with their own board of directors, their own charters, their own licenses. We broadcast from the tip of the Arrowhead at Grand Marais and a second transmitter at the end of the Gunflint Trail to the people who take advantage of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. We also operate stations from the corner of Winona to Mankato, who operates two other translators that go into the southern borders and to the southwestern corners of our state, as well as Steeper Falls and many stations in between. We, like our colleagues in Public Television Association, play a role in helping develop the culture and maintain the culture of the people of Minnesota. As all of you know, your children, when you're in school, you got your idea about how you dress, how you talk, what you say, what you do, from what you see on television or hear on the radio. Right now, all of the corporate media, those decisions are made in New York City or somewhere else, and we are the ones that make those decisions locally. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tilley.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Sarah Caruso, and I'm president of the Minnesota Children's Museum, located in downtown St. Paul, as I hope many of you know. We are very pleased to have Children's Museum as a category that you'll be carefully considering during your deliberations over the coming months. Let me tell you that the Minnesota Children's Museum serves over 400,000 children and families throughout the state each year. Last year, we had record attendance actually at 430,000 attendees. 18% of our visitors come from greater Minnesota, and an additional 10% of our visitors come from outside the state of Minnesota. So we are truly a resource for the state as well as an economic engine for the state by attracting tourism. 30% of our visitors attend at free or reduced admission, and so we work very hard to provide learning and cultural access for all children and families in the state. We also have field trips from about 65 classes and early childhood centers of education to the state. From the state, we have visitors from 85 counties, and we have school groups from 35 counties. Our mission is to spark children's learning through play. We work with children birth through 10, and we are a very important part of the state's infrastructure in building children who are ready for school and who are culturally adept. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Russo.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Brian Rice, and I represent the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. To my left is Kirk Peterson, and we'll both try to be brief. I worked on this issue for 10 years. It started in Bob Lassard's office when he had a hard time getting the bill out of the Senate committee. He had no Metro support, and it was the Hunting and Fishing Amendment 1-8, and I suggested it would be a good idea if he made his effort wider and included Metro Parks in it. I represent the Minneapolis Park Board. We're part of the Metro Park regional system. Bob did that, and that began a 10-year journey that culminated in passage last year and then was put on the ballot. I also served as the president of the nonprofit Vote Yes Minnesota corporation that filed as the political action committee that raised $4 million and coordinated another $1 million to help pass the amendment. I sat on the operating and steering committee. Why were we interested in it? Because our park system is great through not only Minneapolis, but our metropolitan system, our state DNR system, and it really needs some support. It's been 20 years ago, the legislature said it would support the regional system by appropriating 40% of funds for its operation. The legislature has never come close to doing that, maybe 10 or 12%. Representative Wagenius and other members who served on the environment committees would know that. We view the constitutional amendment as a chance to provide long-term stable funding for a great system. The last point I'll make, you passed out a handout about where do the votes come from. The 5th Congressional District had 68% for the amendment. The city of Minneapolis was over almost 75%. Huge interest in supporting that. We look forward to working with you in the months ahead.
Mr. Peterson?
Madam Chair, members, Kirk Peterson, Rice, Michaels, and Walther. What he said, to keep it short, I don't really have anything to add other than just a personal note. I'm an outdoors person. I like to hunt and fish. I also have three young children that like to go to the parks, like to go out and walk in the woods. I'm teaching them to fish. They like to go to museums. So I kind of have a big personal interest in seeing how this thing works out, too. So I look forward to watching this play out. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Branham. I'm the president of the Minnesota Library Association, and I'm here representing the public libraries in the state of Minnesota. There are over 360 public libraries. With me in the audience is Elaine Keefe, MLA's formal lobbyist, but you'll be seeing plenty of both of us, I think, as the months to come. As you know, libraries, public libraries in particular, carry much of the cultural and intellectual history of the state, as well as provide information to people who need to make choices in a democratic society and make good choices about all aspects of their lives. We start from the very earliest with baby story times, which I can tell you are packed with parents getting their kids ready for school from day one, all the way through the senior citizens and the elderly in our population who use our institutions for whatever lifelong purposes of education and recreation that they're interested in. We're really happy to be part of a group that includes so many other organizations that we have partnered with in the past. As I saw our friend from the Children's Museum and said, I go there to play all the time. That's sort of what we encourage people to do in terms of their own education, particularly in the young people in the state. Just to let you know, we have resources available for every aspect of our community, from economic to education to recreation, and we plan to continue that mission both using the state dollars that are provided as well as the local investment. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Nelson. I am the Public Affairs Director for Minnesota Public Radio. NPR is a regional radio network that reaches around 800,000 people throughout the state through 38 public radio stations. We are not only the provider of important news and cultural content, we are also the only radio backbone for the emergency alert system, for the radio talking book, and for the Amber Alert system. In partnership with the state over the past several years, we've been able to build that network and reach many more Minnesotans that were not able to receive public radio content previously. According to the federal government, there are about 160,000 people in the state that still do not receive public radio content. Our goal simply is to work with other public broadcasters, the Amper stations, and with public television to provide every Minnesotan with the best public broadcasting service in the country, if not the world, and we'd very much like to work with you to accomplish that. Thank you.
What was, excuse me, Mr. Nelson, what was that figure that still didn't have access to NPR?
According to the National Telecommunications Infrastructure Association, about 160,000 people in Minnesota do not have any access to public radio currently. They just can't get the signal.
Oh. But they might have radio.
Oh, they have radio, certainly.
Okay.
They just can't tune us in or Amper's radio station.
Okay, thank you. 160,000. Still have to do some outreach.
Hello, my name is Forrest, spelled with two R's, Wilkinson. I'm with the River Warren Research Committee. We're not a government-supported group or organization or agency, so we clearly couldn't raise $4 million to defeat this, but it passed, and we understand that. We think 56% of people voted for it because they were misled, and we think the air is clean, the water is pure, the forests are healthy, and private property is very important, as well as your economic values and things like that. Primarily, I hope that the funds are directed by a priority towards human health, as was implied during the campaign, as suggested by the Freshwater Foundation. Minnesota is the third largest property owner to date behind the federal government and the state of Alaska, and we don't think that we need to be taking more property and putting the property tax burden on fewer and fewer individuals. Like I said, we didn't have $4 million to oppose this. We didn't have great big lobbyists, and we lost. We understand that. We just would hope that the funds are used in a judicious and responsible way, primarily geared towards human health in regards to the environment. We're not a group looking for government handouts, and we just hope that you be responsible with these hard-earned tax dollars. We see economic development here in the state suffering, and we just hope that things are done rationally, responsibly, and we hope for the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkinson.
W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of the committee and Madam Chair. My name is Len Price. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Conservation Corps, which is a nonprofit 501c3. We were part of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources for almost 25 years. In 2003, due to funding reductions, the Minnesota Conservation Corps left the DNR for lack of funding and became a nonprofit. In the 5 years since then, we have continued our efforts for our mission, which is pretty straightforward, to take young people, 15 through 25, put them into natural resource situations where they can have hands-on experience, understanding about conservation and management of our natural resources. The brochure that we're providing is the one that we use generally to talk about our organization. We consider ourselves the grandchildren of the Civilian Conservation Corps because, like the Civilian Conservation Corps, the thing that gave literally millions of young men and some women a chance to have employment during the Great Depression, we take these young people and give them some basic skills, learn how to work, learn some things about the outdoors and the importance of our natural resources being sustained for future generations' use. Our purpose here is to encourage you, like others, to engage nonprofits like us in the activities which are going to be proposed to the committee. We already have many collaboratives. We typically partner in a fee-for-service relationship with anywhere between 90 and 130 partners, profit, nonprofit, and government agencies. I'll be coming to see each of you personally. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Price.
So, Madam Chair, my name is Darrell Gerber, D-A-R-R-E-L-L-G-E-R-B-E-R, and I am a program coordinator at Clean Water Action. We are a national organization. We have over 1.2 million members nationwide, over 90,000 of which are in the state of Minnesota. And despite the name, I should have to mention that we don't get any of the money from the constitutional amendment. But we are going to be here. Well, really looking forward to the challenges that you are facing, but also the opportunities to really look at the priorities of the state, what the voters were really looking for. And there are three things that I wanted to kind of bring up here. One of them is something that our canvassers hear almost every night when they're out talking to people at the doors. And it's, they stated very clearly multiple times they've come back and told me that people at the door are saying, you fooled me once, don't do it again. In other words, use this money for what it was intended for, what they voted for. And with some of the polling and talking with those, water is very important, and it's really what they were looking for, is they want clean, healthy, safe water. The other thing, you know, kind of getting into what you led off with, is also to really look at starting now. We have a lot of need out there, and also look creatively. Don't forget to do research, development, and demonstration projects for new, cheaper solutions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is Larry Redmond, R-E-D-M-O-N-D. I am here today representing Minnesota Citizens for the Arts, who I have represented for many, many years in the legislature. Minnesota Citizens for the Arts itself is not a recipient organization of money from the Constitutional Amendment or from the State Arts Board. However, we represent the roughly 1,300 arts organizations throughout the state and thousands of individual artists that are throughout the state that are very, very concerned about funding of our regional arts council system, of our very fine Minnesota State Arts Board, and, of course, all the arts activity in the state. I don't think I have spent any of my time telling this committee, this learned committee, about the importance of arts in this state and how it is an iconic feature known throughout our entire country. But the legacy amendment was extraordinarily important to us. I, in fact, served on almost every committee of that campaign and, in fact, was one of the principal people in organizing the fundraising for that campaign and also served on the daily meeting. Also with me in the audience is Sheila Smith, who is the Executive Director of Minnesota Citizens of the Arts, my colleague, and she'll also oftentimes be in touch with you about this. Three quick things that I'd leave you with, Madam Chair and members of the committee, is that our goal through the, and our expectation for this very, very great amendment that was passed is that we expand the access and of arts and stability of arts activity to every Minnesotan, no matter what county they are in, no matter what city they are in, whatsoever. Secondly, I would like to echo the statement that was made that we believe these monies are to supplement the existing dollars and not to replace them. And thirdly, our goal is that Minnesota should, as great as an arts state as it is, our goal is that for the future, this will enhance us to become the first nation, the first state in the nation in regards to cultural matters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Tom Peterson. I'm the Government Director for the Minnesota Farmers Union. I just appreciate the opportunity to take a minute to just say that farmers and Minnesota Farmers Union in particular are very interested in the in your committee and the work, and we'll be visiting with each of you about some of the opportunities and some of the priorities that we have, that we think that farmers and agriculture obviously will play a very big role in the land and water uses. And just a couple of real quick things that we have looked at are, you know, things like we've been working with the DNR and looking at things like, again, working lands approach type things where farmers and outdoor and habitat interwork together. Considering open space, I think your committee is going to do that by default because of the green acres and a lot of things that are going on in the discussions that your committees and the legislature is going to have. And so open space preservation is a big issue. Clean water and how agriculture plays into nutrient management and things and improving that and going forward. And then also that, you know, being that farmers have a lot of ideas and issues with habitat problems, creation of habitat, but also management of habitat. And so we just appreciate being a part of that discussion as your committee goes forward, and we look forward to visiting with you individually. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Madam Chair, members, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Bo Carlson. I'm actually here with two different hats, the first of which I am the Associate Superintendent for Three Rivers Park District. We are a regional parks agency that represents suburban Hennepin County. We were created by the legislature in 1957, and we are the only special park district in the state of Minnesota. Currently, we operate roughly 27,000 acres of parkland and operate a variety of regional parks, park reserves, and regional trails throughout the suburban Hennepin County area. We are a member of the Metropolitan Regional Park System, and certainly I echo a lot of the sentiments that were mentioned by other members in the Metropolitan Regional Park System earlier in your testimony, and I won't go beyond repeating some of the things that they said, but simply mention we're tremendously excited with the opportunity that this amendment will provide for parks and recreation, and tremendously excited about the opportunity that this will provide us more chance to provide wonderful park facilities for all of our residents, both for our community and for the state of Minnesota. My second hat that I am wearing is as the legislative chair for the Minnesota Recreation and Parks Association, and the man to my right is our lobbyist, Mr. Doug Carnival. We represent the Professional Association of Park and Rec Professionals, and we are the connection to all of your park and rec professionals in your communities that provide these wonderful park services that all of us utilize and are a vital component of our communities and a vital component of the state of Minnesota. We are here simply to indicate that we hope to be a resource for you. We are an opportunity to connect to your local park and rec department. If you have any questions or concerns or issues that we may provide information, we are the professional organization that can bring you that information and hope to provide any assistance we can. With that, I will turn it over to Mr. Carnival.
Hold on a minute. You spoke much faster than I could write. But what was this professional group that you're talking about?
Madam Chair, the organization I represent is the Minnesota Recreation and Parks Association, otherwise known as MRPA.
Thank you. Mr. Carnival.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug Carnival. I'm here as well wearing two hats. One, as Mr. Carlson said, is representing MRPA, Minnesota Recreation and Park Association, the group of professionals who view their role essentially as conservation, education, and recreation for citizens of Minnesota at the state park, metro park, and regional park, and the city park level. So they're the professionals who implement those activities at the parks, managing and operating trails and parks in at those various levels of government on behalf of the citizens. We here are to help you remember that those are important parts of the groups that supported this constitutional amendment and are here to help any way we can to ensure that the distribution of funds includes folks who use the parks throughout the state. The second hat I'm wearing is here on behalf of the Minnesota Golf Association. And I'm not here for the Heritage Amendment on that, but to talk in support of the Explore Minnesota Tourism account that this committee now has. The MGA is an association of thousands of people in Minnesota who play golf and who enjoy the game here in Minnesota, most of whom play at public courses, not as many believe private courses. So it's a game played across the state primarily by non-private use persons. They have collaborated many times with the Explore Minnesota Tourism folks in an effort to show that Minnesota is a great destination for tourism, and golf is an important aspect of that. They have recently done a study about the impact of golf on the Minnesota economy, and we will be discussing and sharing that with you over the course of the year. But we're here to help any way we can Explore Minnesota and its relationship to golf and its development and importance in the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Speaker.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm Bob Vanosik, and I'm here representing the Arts Partnership, which is a coalition of several organizations, including the Ardway, the Minnesota Opera, the Schubert Club, and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. We are embarked on a major fundraising campaign to raise a significant amount of private dollars to remodel a portion of the Ardway in order to create a permanent home for the organizations that I just mentioned. We're hoping that in the coming months that we'll be able to demonstrate that this project has sufficient merit, that it would warrant the support of the governor and the legislature to have some state participation in a future bonding bill.
Thank you. That was within your 90 seconds. Mr. Vanosik, how long has the Arts Partnership been in existence?
Madam Chair, members, it is a very recent coming together of these organizations. It's my understanding that they've been involved in discussions, getting together for several months, and I believe it was within the last year that they formally organized themselves as the Arts Partnership.
So, excuse me, Schubert, Ardway,
Minnesota Opera, St. Paul Chamber.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Andrea Hart-Kyer, and I'm Deputy Director for External Relations for the Minnesota Historical Society. And we are pleased to know that Minnesota citizens voted in the words Minnesota history and the Constitution for this constitutional amendment. Our background is we were started in 1849. We are the oldest educational institution in the state. We run 26 historic sites, including the Capitol, and two museums, including the Minnesota History Center up the road. We also have a library, archives, and a vast collection of Minnesota artifacts for the Historical Society. We also work with 400-plus historical organizations throughout the state of Minnesota, and we're very pleased to work with you on the constitutional amendment and how to shape the funding. And with me today is David Kelleher, our legislative liaison for the Minnesota Historical Society.
Mr. Kelleher.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm David Kelleher, legislative liaison
for the Minnesota Historical Society. Our mission, simply put, is to help Minnesotans understand their past so that they may gain meaning for the future. And that fits well with the goals, of the legacy amendment, where Minnesotans voted overwhelmingly to provide a gift to future generations. We are part of the educational system. We have visits from over 250,000 school children each year at our sites and museums. We provide a textbook for students to learn about Minnesota history. And we're part of economic development, an important part of the heritage tourism economy. People want to visit interesting places that are authentic and have a remnant of the past. We look forward to working with you and the committee to coordinate the general fund expenditures as well as the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And I think my time is up. Thank you.
Very good.
Madam Chair, I'm Pierre Ouellette, lobbyist for the City of Minneapolis.
And Madam Chair, I'm Wendy Underwood, lobbyist for the City of St. Paul.
Madam Chair, we chose to come up together. We do this often to demonstrate that our two cities often have more in common and work together on many things rather than apart. I think our goal for being here with you today is to learn, advocate, and perhaps be a resource for some of you. We have kind of three goals. Minneapolis and St. Paul are home to a lot of cultural and historical resources, and we want to be help to those efforts. Hopefully, maybe we'll learn and maybe help you learn that fish, game, and wildlife isn't just an issue exclusive to greater Minnesota, but the urban centers also have concerns in those areas. And we have issues about clean water, which particular for us is about stormwater issues, which is sometimes overlooked in other areas. So we look forward to working with you.
And Madam Chair, I'll just add that I have asked our Parks Director to speak with you about the 3/8 Amendment, so I'll just add that we're very excited by the opportunity of this committee to, along with the 3/8 Amendment, to also address with all of your finance areas economic development and educational opportunities that you'll be able to touch. And you'll hear from me regularly on our efforts in the East Metro on progressing with the Minnesota Asian Pacific Cultural Center, with active outdoor recreational sports for youth and other such initiatives. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Fish, game, and what else? Mr. Ouellette?
Wildlife.
Aren't just rural. Because those deer go everywhere. Holy cow, in the backyard, when they put a fence. They're right in Hermantown. Right in Hermantown. Uptown Hermantown.
Madam Chair, my name is John Edmond. I'm Director of Explorer Minnesota Tourism. With me here today is Colleen Tolleson, my Industry Relations Manager. Wave your hand, Colleen. Colleen and I will be here to assist members of the committee and staff in any way we can dealing with the issues that are before you. Our mission, very simply, is to promote travel to and within the state of Minnesota. Travel and tourism in Minnesota is a $10 billion industry. People don't realize how big it is. It's comparable to agriculture in terms of its importance. Over 244,000 jobs in the leisure and hospitality industry. We actually bring in about over 15% of all the sales tax revenue in the state through the leisure and hospitality industry, and about 10% of the total employment. Also, as a part of our jurisdiction is the Minnesota Film and TV Board. They also come under our budget. We work with most everyone in your jurisdiction, whether it's the Arts, the Historical Society, the Film Board, in helping to promote Minnesota. We have to develop a partnership. And I think in these difficult economic times that people will be discovering things in their own backyard, whether it be the natural resources, which we have to keep, and quality that visitors want to come back to, the arts, the historic sites. So we look forward to you, Madam Chair, and the rest of the committee to working with all of you to help keep Minnesota tourism strong. Thank you.
And if we could bring it up to $15 billion, then our problem would be solved, right? Thank you, Mr. Edmund.
Hello, good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Hamm. I am the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of St. Paul. We are a implementing agency of the Metropolitan Parks System, and that system includes Como Park Zoo and Conservatory, the organization which I served as their director for the past 2.5 years. Supporting the passage of the amendment was something that was part of our Citizen Parks and Recreation Commission's work in 2008. Our citizen groups throughout St. Paul actively worked with volunteers and user groups to educate and inform them about the benefits of the passage of the amendment. You've heard a good deal about the value of the Metro Park system already. St. Paul would ask for consideration for investment in the Metro Park system. We're certainly proud of the success of the system, but also proud of the success specifically in St. Paul. Harriet Island Regional Park, Como Park Zoo and Conservatory are two of the more visited and more successful regional parks. Como Park Zoo and Conservatory alone serves 1.9 million visitors annually. 30% of those visitors come from outside of the metropolitan region. Over 10% come from outside of the state of Minnesota, promoting tourism. We'd also look forward to pursuing water, clean water, and habitat opportunities as those opportunities present themselves. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sue Jens, and I'm the Interim Executive Director of the Minnesota State Arts Board. If you don't know us, we are a state agency. Our structure and duties are outlined in Minnesota statutes. And the statute directs us to do a variety of things, but in particular two I think are important for today's conversation. One is we are expected to stimulate and encourage the creation, performance, and appreciation of the arts in the state. That's why we exist. That's why the legislature created the Arts Board many years ago. The other thing that the statute says is that we serve as the fiscal agent for 11 regional arts councils that are located throughout the state of Minnesota. So together, the Arts Board and the regional arts councils serve citizens in every community and in every county of the state. Our board members are appointed by the governor, approved by the Senate, and each of the regional arts councils is governed by a local board of directors. So we have a great deal of citizen involvement in all the decisions that we make. Our goal is to encourage you to take advantage of the system as fully as you can through this process. We have a well-established system. We work regularly to identify the needs and to come up with ways to address those needs and those opportunities in the arts. And we already do three of the four things that are outlined in the Constitution Amendment language. We support the arts, arts education, and arts access. Nearly 12 million people each year benefit from the programs that the Arts Board and the Regional Arts Councils fund through its grant programs or we support through our services. So we are citizen-driven, we are flexible, and we are eager to work with this committee and with the legislature to see that these new increased dollars really provide a creative legacy for the state of Minnesota. The needs are great, but the benefits to Minnesota and to its citizens will be even greater. Thank you.
Ms. Jens, you said three out of the four. What's the one that you don't do?
We would not be the ones that you would look to preserve Minnesota's history and cultural heritage. Others in the room are probably better able to provide that service.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Craig Johnson. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, the Association of City Governments from across the state. Very briefly, we have three goals for working with this committee. One, obviously, is to provide whatever advice that would be helpful to you in maximizing the benefits of the various funds you're working with and knowing what impacts those decisions might have on cities. Secondly,
to help cities lead the effort to clean up our waters, to protect our outdoor heritage, and to provide the opportunities for cultural and artistic opportunity that these funds were meant to provide. Cities are the place where a lot of that happens, so we are anxious to work on that with you. But finally, third goal is to set the stage for 25 years of future funding coming out of the constitutional amendment. The decisions that you all make in the next year or two are going to set precedence for how we decide to spend this money for a long time. And we feel that's very important, and we're anxious to help you do that. In particular, with this committee's mission, obviously cities work with tourism, libraries, historical preservation, the full spectrum, but in particular, we would be most involved with working with TFA funding. They provide the infrastructure funding for city projects. And in the constitutional amendment, I was a member of the G16 that worked on getting the Clean Water Legacy Act put together, and the League has been very active, including producing a movie, Great Water's Gone Bad, that's been shown hundreds of times statewide to promote cleaning up our impaired waters throughout the state. Look forward to working with you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Peggy Adelman, Chief Financial Officer at the Minnesota Zoological Garden. We are one of the zoos that you will be looking at. We are a state agency, and our operating budget is funded approximately 35% with the state appropriation. I'm looking forward to spending time with the committee and telling you about some of the great successes of the zoo, and also some of the challenges of the zoo. We are part of the American Zoo and Aquarium Association, and we work with other zoos in a cooperative manner. We really have three main focus areas. The one that most people are familiar with is recreation, but we also do a lot in the environmental education arena, and we also do a lot in conservation, both in the state of Minnesota, working, for example, with the Comforter Swan program in partnership with the Department of Natural Resources, and nationally and internationally.
Thank you. Mr. Abbott.
Madam Chair, my name is John Abbott. I'm with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer, and we join Peggy in representing the zoo and the Minnesota Zoo Foundation. We're in front of this committee because a portion of the budget of the zoo is comes through your committee, but also we've been in front of the Capital Investment Committee for several years running and appreciate the efforts that they've provided to the Minnesota Zoo, inviting you to come out to see the new exhibit, the Minnesota Grizzly, or Russia's Grizzly Coast, and a few of the other great exhibits out there. Also, just quick aside, another 90 seconds, but won't take it. Another interest is personal, not professional, and that is your work with the arts. I'm the president of the Minnesota of the History Theater in downtown St. Paul. We invite you to come down and see some of our shows, and certainly supporting the arts is something that this committee will have a great deal of impact on. They need your help. Thank you.
Maybe we should be given the names of the shows and when they're playing.
Gosh, thank you. I'll bring you a brochure, ma'am. The next, we just opened a show a couple minutes ago called The Miracle Worker, which isn't a Minnesota show, but it's about Helen Keller, and it's a very dramatic show. A few people who saw it at the opening on Saturday said it was tremendous. Stacia Rice, who's an actor, Guthrie fame around this area, is the lead in that particular show.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ray Bowen. I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts. I'm here today because I was curious about how this committee is going to work and how, I think, curious about how it's going to interact with the existing environmental finance apparatus we have. And I think you did answer some of those questions, and although I think that's probably sounds like it's going to see how that gets played out. But anyway, as a group of entities, local units of government that are interested primarily in water quality, water quantity issues, obviously we're interested in how the Clean Water Fund, how that money is going to be spent. We're interested in giving you the benefit of any advice that we can give you. We have been working literally for the last 5 years, starting with the G16 and then the Clean Water Council, not only the watershed districts, but also I think 16 to 20 other groups And I think that should give a fairly good foundation for how maybe perhaps at least a foundation of knowledge of how some of that money should be spent. Clearly we have certain federal requirements under the TMDL process, and that seems to be at the forefront of many of the issues that we're facing out there as we work towards cleaning up our lakes and streams right now, and preventing pollution as well, which is just as important, if maybe not important, than the cleanup. So with that, we'd be happy to come and offer any advice that you may want, and I hope that you'll take advantage of the Clean Water Council and your expertise. Thank you.
I think we have a member of the Clean Water Council on our committee, don't we?
Yeah.
He's not going to let us forget. thank you, Mr. Bone. What happened this side? All the people haven't spoken. Mr. Tuma? Please.
Madam Chair, members, thank you. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And it truly is a privilege to be here today talking about the opportunity that lies before all of us. The DNR is kind of unique in this aspect as we deal with three out of the four funds that you do have before you in this committee: the Heritage Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, and also the Clean Water Fund. We work directly with all stakeholders associated with those three funds. We have many strategic plans related to conservation, protection, and enhancement of the state's air, land, and natural resources that we can provide to you in-depth information pulled together with citizens and stakeholders of the state of Minnesota, outlining where conservation needs to go or should be going in the areas of prairies, wetlands, grasslands, forests, parks, trails, recreation, all of those aspects. So we look forward to working with you on that level. As far as our goal, working with this committee, the stakeholders, and everyone associated with these dollars, is for long-term strategic conservation investments. And they have to have measurable outcomes so that people understand what they're getting with their dollars. And also, as we're preparing to invest in our future, we need to keep an eye on what these lands will look like in 25 or 50 years as we buy lands to protect them, making sure that we aren't dealing with the issues of encroachment on WMAs as we are right now in the metropolitan area. Making sure as we restore lands, we're planting species that will be able to sustain the environmental pressures that we're looking for with climate change and things like that. So as we're investing these dollars today, keep in the back of your mind, what is this going to be like in 50 years, in 100 years, for the people that we're investing for in their future? So we look forward to work with you very closely, Madam Chair and members. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Did you have a title at DNR?
Madam Chair, yes, my name is Bob Meyer. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Natural Resources, in charge of all of our legislative activities. I'll be coming by to see all of you who have not met me before, and I'm here every day, early, late, you name it. So I look forward to working with you very closely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Bill Strasinski, and I'm here today representing the Friends of Minnesota Public Television, Minnesota Public Television Association. We reach over about 4.5 million people per in Minnesota with our over-the-air signal. You don't need cable, satellite, or anything else to reach one of our public television signals throughout the state. We have six stations serving Minnesota. Our legacy basically was really established in the 1940s when the federal government made public airwaves available for public television. And since that time, we've created six nonprofit entities owned and operated by the communities they serve in Minnesota to bring forward program that engages the public, the citizen, in political activities, in informational activities, governmental activities. We carry programs like the Minnesota Legislature, programs like Almanac, Venture North, and all kinds of other things. Engage the public in civil debate. That's part of our legacy. The other part is that we certainly engage the public in cultural aspects and cultural programming. For example, in the Duluth Symphony, we know that about 2,500 people can see a symphony on any given night, and yet that's broadcast live on WDSE public television station, so tens of thousands of people also have see that program, and certainly many more thousands have access to those kinds of programmings. That's part of our legacy, and that's what we're all about. Should also inform the committee, is we'll talk more about this in the future, but we also created a video vault in Minnesota with the Minnesota Public Television Association, whereby programs, cultural programs, informational programming programs are now stored on a video basis, and anybody in the public can certainly access any of those programs that have been, and we'll also put in past programs in that video vault as well, so the public will have access to all of that should they want to pull up the performance at the Guthrie Theater or special version of Almanac or something. So a lot to us. Thank you, Madam Chair, for this time.
Thank you. Of course, they didn't have the symphony on the night the Letterman played, saying we had to listen to the New York Symphony that night, I think it was.
Madam Chair, is that the Letterman that brought out my head?
It was the Letterman, yeah. Really? On New Year's Eve, they sang. But there were only one real one. The others came in 84 or something. They weren't the... There was one original one. I guess I should have said that. But maybe they videoed it and it'll be on another night.
It's going to import New York into the...
Madam Chair, I am Bill Becker. I'm temporary staff to the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council, and my goal for you is also my wish for you, and I wish you a well-informed appropriations bill that serves the highest interests of Minnesotans. And I want to echo what was said earlier, in that I think it's very important that in 25 years Minnesotans look at the work of this committee and say that was good, that they're satisfied with what occurred. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your wish is my wish.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kristen Batson. I'm Director of the State of Minnesota Office of Grants Management. The office was created in 2007 by the 2007 legislature to do two things. One is to improve grant-making practices across state executive branch agencies, and the second is to increase information about state grant opportunities to grant seekers. I'm interested in the policies and procedures and practices, the mechanics of how these dollars will be awarded. We're, of course, interested in helping state agencies create a fair and transparent process for state grant awards, and I offer the office any assistance that you may need in this Herculean task before you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Matson?
Batson. He is in boy.
Batson.
A-T-S-O-N.
Ms. Batson, tell me about your office. Where is it?
We're located in the Department of Administration. And we are an army of one. We've so far written 11 grant-making policies for state agencies. We've created a resource website for state agency employees with best practices and training and policies and statute for grant-making practices. And we've created an external website that links to all state agency grant opportunities for grant seekers.
So anyone that was interested in pursuing any funding should be aware of those 11 policies that you've already established, right?
Who works with grants in a state agency should be aware of them. They're written for state agency employees. Okay. And many state grantees are also aware of them.
Well, we will talk more in depth with you as we proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Isis Stark. It's I-S-I-S-S-T-A-R-K. I'm with the Nature Conservancy. And the Nature Conservancy is a science-based conservation organization. We work in Minnesota and around the world for conservation of habitat and wildlife. The constitutional amendment is clear in its wording on how the money should be spent on the Outdoor Heritage Fund. It says it may be spent only to restore, protect, and enhance wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. We hope that the funding for this portion of the constitutional amendment will be focused on large eco-regional collaborative areas and proposals, and in the wetland, freshwater enhancement, prairie protection, and forest conservation. Right now, we are focused on two areas, in particular at the Nature Conservancy, on these areas. One is prairie protection, to protect the remaining 80,000 acres in private ownership of native prairie. Restoring the degraded prairie and savannas found in both the rural areas and the metro. And the second area is the forest conservation for working lands. We are working on conservation easements, which protect habitat and public recreation, and will help keep the nearly 42,000 jobs that are in the forest industries. We look forward to working with you to protect our state's natural resources.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. I'm John Jaschke, J-A-S-C-H-K-E. I'm the Director of the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and we're the state agency that deals with conservation and clean water through local governments, through our counties, cities, watershed districts, and soil and water conservation districts. I think it's a very important point because these topics, all the four of those funds that you're responsible for, specifically the two that we deal with, the clean water and the habitat piece, are connected to citizens, and we've got to make sure that we start with that point and complete that loop and bring back to them the results of what our efforts collectively are going to achieve. Not just 25 years from now, but every day, every year that we make improvements and make headway. I just want to let you know that we conducted a series of listening sessions around the state in seven different cities, from Marshall, Mankato, Rochester, Grand Rapids, Bemidji, St. Paul, St. Cloud. And I've got one copy, is all today, Madam Chair, of the summary of that listening session's input. So I will leave that with you. It will be on our website beginning tomorrow. We just completed that this morning for the Outdoor Heritage Council. So with that, Madam Chair, we look forward to meeting with you and the members down the road to talk about locally delivered conservation and clean water activities. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you for sharing your information with us.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Christine Almeida, A-L-M-E-I-D-A. And I am honored to be before you today. I think that it shouldn't escape anybody in this room the significance of this amendment passing. The voters spoke really profoundly, I think, on these issues, and the charge before you is a big one, as you all know. The specific organizations that I am here to represent today are the Trust for Public Land and also the Minnesota Land Trust. These are two organizations that work statewide to purchase land and water resources for long-term stewardship in the public trust. And we can go into more depth about those issues if you wish. I was, on a more personal level, I was heavily involved in the Vote Yes campaign in the early summer, in early June of 2007, had the unique task, along with Mr. Rice and Mr. Redman and Ms. Smith and a number of others in this room, of trying to pull together a campaign for an initiative that had not yet been put on the ballot by the legislature. And it was no easy task to try to pull together the groups and to try to get commitments to secure and set up a campaign. I also was a participant in the campaign's operations committee, which was the small group that worked on day-to-day operations of the campaign as well. Of particular importance, I think, and others have mentioned it already today, is this question of supplanting versus supplementing. I think the language is pretty clear about how this particular funding is supposed to supplement and not take the place of existing funds. So I ask the committee to take a particular look at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you. everyone had the opportunity that wishes it. No one here will think in March that, oh my gosh, I want to talk now. If you're not talking today, how can you talk in March? Going once. Thanks a lot. You have given us a lot to think about, and I saw almost everyone taking notes, and even though we're going to have minutes to be distributed, but you've helped a lot in defining what part of our goal is. Now, Representative Morgan, it's your turn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. If we're quick, we can get this done very quickly. Thank you for letting us all have a chance to talk about what's important to us. I don't know exactly why I was put on this committee. I guess we'd have to ask the speaker. But what I see as my goal, several of the testifiers mentioned, we need a process that 25 years from now people can look back and say the House of Representatives did it right the first time. And they got input, and they worked hard, and they thought long-term, and they thought big, and they thought small, and they really used these new resources for the best of Minnesota's future. So that's my goal, and it's a tall order, but I think we have a good group of people in here that are going to help, not only at this table, but also in the crowd here, are going to help us make that happen.
Representative David.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I think the number one goal this committee does need to be listened. We're charting, we're going down to uncharted territory here, and so we have to do this right. When I was first given the committee assignments, I had no clue what this lead Republican thing was on this committee because I didn't even know it existed. And I thought, what did I do to Representative Seifert to anger him so? But then I saw your name on there, Chair Murphy, and I thought, must be a good committee. Sometimes you just get lucky. I'm looking forward to going and negotiating with the Senate, as I did for my previous 16 years. I'm the anvil that has worn out the hammer of many a senator, so I'm looking forward to working with you on those issues.
Representative Brown.
I represent District 27A, which is the Albert Lea area, and we do have a number of water bodies in our area, so I do have a high concern for water quality. I was one of the co-authors of the amendment and have a very strong interest in seeing that the dollars are spent as they should be wisely for greater Minnesota and throughout the state of Minnesota.
Representative Loeffler.
Hi, I'm Diane Loeffler, and I represent Northeast Minneapolis, which is my long-term home, but I've also spent many summers in the exploring the woods and the shorelines of Aiken County, so I appreciate our state's diverse environments and happen to represent the Arts District of Minneapolis. So this is just the perfect place to be, and I sought it, and I'm delighted to be here. I think we have to honor the commitment made to the voters, and I think the word legacy is something that we have to weigh as we move ahead. I think we have to have fairness and equity as guiding goals and have honest discussion about the differing perspectives on those simple words. And I know that that will be a difficult challenge for all of us, and I hope we'll approach it honestly. It sounds like a lot of money, but even big amounts go pretty quickly, and I'm hoping that we'll use the insights and wisdoms of all and coordinate our efforts with what we're currently investing in our regular budget, use the knowledge that we've learned from that as we create new things. That doesn't mean supplanting, but it does mean coordinating, integrating, and making sure that things serve more than one good goal as we move forward. And I agree with the concept of 25 years from now feeling really good about what we did.
Thank you. Representative Knapp.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's a privilege to be here and be a part of this important discussion. Minnesota has a great quality of life. We've got a lot to protect and a lot to promote, and I'm excited to be here because I think it's an important role that we have here with a huge responsibility for legislative oversight that's going to affect the future and affect the next generation. So I look forward to hearing the input and learning more and more about these issues and things that are crucial to Minnesota's culture and heritage.
Representative Hansen.
My name is Rick Hansen. I'm an ex officio member of the committee. I thank the chair for support of that that position. I serve on the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council. I have a background in natural resources, and my goal here is to make sure that we're talking about Minnesota's legacy, not any specific special interest legacy, but it was the people of Minnesota who voted for this, the people of Minnesota who will be paying the taxes for this, and it belongs to the people of Minnesota, each of the four funds. And so we'll need to deal with each of the four funds. Hopefully I'll be bringing a good recommendation coming from the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council, but we'll have to do our due diligence with all four funds to accurately reflect and represent the people of Minnesota.
Representative Ethan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it is a privilege to be here, especially in a committee that does have some money to spend. That's nice. I think it must be remembered that there are certain areas of the state where it didn't do as well as others. That includes an area that I represent, and I think that we need to make sure that we convince the people in all areas of the state that this is this money is going to be spent wisely, invested wisely, to secure that legacy that Representative Hansen was referring to. And I think that this is a very important year in this committee because we are going to be setting some very important precedents this year. So thank you.
Representative Tarkleson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As the Chair noted earlier, I do serve on the Clean Water Council. I've served on that council since its inception in March of 2007. I'm a former Vice President of the Minnesota Farm Bureau and an active farmer in Watonwan County, but I do have an interest in the other areas we're involved with. I'm an active hunter, and I graduated from college with a degree in music education, so I am interested in the arts also. So I look forward to the broad spectrum of issues that we're going to work with, and it's going to be a very interesting ride. I look forward to a great outcome for the citizens and the heritage and the environment of Minnesota.
Representative Haas.
Good morning. There's afternoon, evening. There's too many Haases here, and I had the wrong packet, so I have to switch that paper. And I don't want to be the only one to get the hammer today, so I'll go quickly. I am really enjoying retirement. I've done so three times. I've liked all three. One of the areas that I retired from was Park and Recreation, and I ran the Park and Recreation Department for the City of St. Cloud, which also did the culture and arts for that department. I was the park director when Representative Opatz and Senator Dave Kleiss created the Central Minnesota Parks and Trail system for our area, and we did pass this heavily in Stearns County.
Representative Virginia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am extremely pleased to be here. My city residents, all my constituents live in the city, voted for this overwhelmingly. They have very high expectations for us that we will deliver results and that what we do will be very transparent. And I have every confidence that that's going to happen in this committee.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's for me also, it's an honor to be here. I going through the presentations, I'm a consumer of many of those products, Como Zoo, the arts, libraries, on and on and on, like many Minnesotans. So I'm excited to hope and improve those as best we can. I'm personally interested in trails. I haven't heard much of trails today and around the state. I was talking to a city manager the other day from Maplewood, and he said as soon as they can lay them down, people are on them. And they have about 15 people on a lake, but they've got about 1,500 that are on the trails. So, but anyway, so we're in this. That I hope we can be at the end of this, the end of our journey in 2 years and beyond, that we can be proud of our work. And the voters are, you know, the people of Minnesota are proud of what we've done. So I'm excited to be here.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I
chose to make the request to be on this committee. Many of you know that in my past life I was a teacher. I've served 6 years on education committees here, and this time I had to make a choice between education policy and this committee. And I chose this committee because I'm very excited about the possibilities for the environment and for the arts in the future and the setting of precedent. I would comment, well, someone earlier kind of excluded history from their purview, but I believe that art interprets history. Certainly I'm concerned about that. Representative Lilly was talking about trails. Well, I know of some constituents that are concerned about trails, so I'm sure you'll hear a lot about trails if I'm up to my usual measures on promoting things. Also, I'm very concerned about water. From my first times here serving on committees with Representative Wagenius, we've discussed water issues, and I'm particularly concerned about wastewater. As Representative Hausman knows, we had 260 requests in the capital investment bill last time, $1.7 billion in projects, and we need to do some things to try to help out for clean water in the state.
Representative Hausman.
One can go to the dictionary and look up the word supplement and supplant and get very clear definitions. But I think one of the things that will be very difficult is how you define those words and put them in a context of a $5 billion deficit. And I certainly think that has some complexity. But what I take to mean about those two words is a spirit of maximizing dollars available. And so the other piece that I would add to it, just given the fact that many of these groups have been in front of my committee, and Representative Erdahl just mentioned that relative to wastewater infrastructure, that one of the things that I would be interested in talking about is when does bonding make our dollars go further, and when is cash the better way to go? And I mean that they play very different roles in funding all of these programs, and I think bonding allows you to do larger capital projects, but it has a lot of rules. Cash perhaps more flexible, but that's the one piece that I think bears some discussion.
Very good, Mr. Soderberg.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Ron Soderberg. I'm a fiscal analyst. I've worked with many of you before, and I look forward to doing so again. As a staff person, I live by the principle that my opinion counts as much as my vote, so I'm not saying anything about what I see for the committee, but I look forward to you, and I hope I can be a resource to make your journey easier and more successful.
Thank you. Mr. Shepard.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Shepard from the House Research Department, and along with Mr. McCormick, we'll be helping the committee to provide information to help you make your decisions and then eventually to draft the legislation and any amendments that you'd need to implement those decisions.
Very good. Mr. Musilevich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is David Musilevich. I work for House DFL Research, and I'll help members on this committee however I can. And part of my job is, once you do all your good work, is to inform the other members of the caucus how good it is.
Is there a Republican research? Okay.
David White, GOP Research, basically with it.
We have a place for you at the table.
I had a friend with me.
Oh, okay, fine.
I wish I had a friend.
It'll come. There's a couple of people that are raising their hands. Mr. Chen.
Hello, I'm Philip Chen. I'm Representative Murphy's legislative assistant, and I will be doing pretty much anything you need me to do for this committee. And if I can be of any help, let me know.
Okay. Please.
My name is Luke, and I'm also paid, but I got a particular interest in the trail. I bike and I run like crazy. So. I'm also on the case, though.
Great. Just fine.
I'm Carrie Fine. I have been a committee administrator now for 1 week. In an area that I don't know very much about. So I'm not sure how much help I'm going to be to anybody, but I would certainly try, and I hope that this committee can run smoothly and people will walk away feeling like we've done a good job, and with the chair we have, I don't think that'll be a problem.
I agree.
Okay. Got your pencils out, everyone?
Pencils up.
Everyone, pencils, paper, this is your assignment. The next meeting will be on Wednesday, January 21st at 8:30 a.m. in this room. Everyone has the assignment to talk to at least, it can be more, but at least three people that voted yes on the constitutional amendment. One person of the three should be between 18 and 35 years of age. Another person should be from 36 to 60. And the third person should be from 60 to 108.
Madam Chair?
And if you don't want to be personal, pretty, I'll trust you to use your judgment in those categories. Now.
Madam Chair, 108 is a little short. My husband had a relative who made it to 111.
How did he vote?
She has since passed away, unfortunately.
108. We'll take it above that if you want. Okay. Ask the individual, why did you vote yes? What are your expectations? What do you think will be different? Because now we have this additional money for outdoor heritage, clean water, parks and trails, and arts education. In addition to that, and I would like those answers in writing, please.
Going to grade them?
I'm going to read them. We're all going to use the information on the assignment for the future. In addition to that, the second thing I want you to do is bring a picture of you embracing outdoor heritage, culture, history, legacy, as you most enjoy it. Doesn't have to be just you. It could be your kids. It could be your grandma. It could be just a picture you clip out of the magazine. If it truly represents you, and your belief or thought or spirit embracing one of those things that I mentioned.
Does that mean like hugging a tree or something? Yeah.
Could be. Could be.
I'm gonna like this one.
Those you're going to have to share, and not necessarily all the next time, but we should always be prepared, so you must bring it. If you don't have a camera or something like that, you could always draw it or paint it or something. Your assignment will be posted, and we're a little over, but like I said, we'll go at any time. This meeting is adjourned.